Well, take your Bibles, if you will, and turn with me to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, and chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And without my watch, I'm completely unaware of the time. So if I go long, someone just wave at me. If I get to 1 o'clock, and I quit. Just kidding. Oh. Okay. Well, we're in Ephesians chapter 5, and there's some good verses coming up, but I wanted to spend a little bit more time before we got to those verses on some prior verses, the verses 12 and 13, 14, before we head into 15, 16, and 17. So we're going to look at that today. Today is kind of a special day for me. It's the day before my birthday. So it's the last shopping day before, and I'm just kidding. Anyway, but it's the day my father passed away 8 years ago. And so it's always a day to reflect and be thankful and not to be emotional. Not at all. But I was thinking about my dad. I think about him a lot. But when you love someone, how do you think about them? When you love someone, you think good. My dad was not perfect by any means. Neither am I. Neither are any of us. We're not perfect. But you know, when I think about my dad and the memories that I have of my dad, I don't remember anything wrong. I really don't. It was just great. What a dad. What a great life. What an example. And I was thinking about that last night. I was thinking about that this morning. About my memories of my father. And how they're all precious. And they're that way, not because he was perfect, but because I love him. And when we love one another, it affects the way we think about one another. And this isn't even the message, but I'm going to run with this for a few minutes, so hang on with me. Let's go back to the book of Nehemiah. I think it's Nehemiah. That's in your Old Testament. It's a little ways away from Ephesians. We'll get back there. It's after the book of Ezra. In the book of Nehemiah, chapter 13. Nehemiah 13, and I want you to look at the very last verse of the book. So we've just gone through the whole book of Nehemiah. We're at the end. And Nehemiah makes this request. He's talking about how he's the summary of what he's done. And he says this. He says, "Remember me, O my God, for good. Remember me, O my God, for good." How will you be remembered when you're gone? How will you be remembered? You know, I was encouraged by Nehemiah's words. Nehemiah said, "God, I want you to remember me for good." Was Nehemiah perfect? No, he wasn't. Nehemiah was a sinner who put his pants on just like we do, one leg at a time, except they didn't wear pants back then. They wore robes. So however put your robe on, he put it on the same way. But he was a sinner just like you and just like I am a sinner. And yet Nehemiah's great desire was that God would remember him for good. You know what? God thinks good of me. God remembers me for good, and of this I am confident, that God thinks good of me. Why? Not because I am good, but because he loves me. And when you love someone, you think well of them. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul said, "Love thinketh no evil." And as I was thinking about these thoughts and thinking about my father and thinking how I remember my father and the precious memories that I have of him, because I love him and I don't think ill of my father, I only think good of him. And then I began to think of all the other people in my life. And sadly, not everyone that I think of do I think good. And I was rebuked because I thought to myself, if my thoughts of these individuals are not good, it is because I do not love them. You know, if we would get this, if you'll think about this, if you'll believe this, it'll affect your marriage. It'll affect your relationships in your family. And it will affect your relationships in the church. Because when we love one another, we remember one another for good. And I went through a mental list of all the people closest to me, and folks, you are all on that list. And I had to think to myself, what's the first thing I think of when I think of these individuals? Do I think of them for good? Or do I groan? Remember me for good. Listen, God thinks good of us. Not because we're good, but because he loves us. And when you truly love someone else, you will think good of them. And again, you think to yourself, how do I think of others? How do I think of my wife? How do I think of my husband? How do I think of my children? How do I think of my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? How do I think of them? Do I think of them for good? Or do I focus on the evil? Listen, all of us have plenty and more than enough evil to be focused on. But I'm so thankful that God does not look at us that way. God looks at us as his children, and he sees us as having the righteousness of his Son. He has placed his love upon us, and he remembers us for good. And so I ask you today, how will you be remembered? How will you be remembered? Because one of these days, you will be gone. And I hope for you parents, grandparents, and children as you become older, if you have your own families, I hope that your memory and your remembrance of your parents will be at least as sweet as mine. Love one another. Love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love for one another. And love affects the way we think. Because if we love one another, we'll think good of one another. It's not love to focus on the faults of another. And when you focus on the faults of another, that's all you'll see. And you'll become irritable, grumpy, grouchy, unpleasant to be around. You'll sour your home like rotten leftovers in the refrigerator. All right. That wasn't the message, but that was on my heart. So, let's get on with the message, because this is on my heart too. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. I'm going to begin reading at verse 6, and I want to read through verse 14 for the context. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. The last verse there, verse 14, some commentators think maybe that he is quoting from Isaiah 60, verse 1. Others think that maybe he's not even quoting Scripture, but maybe a hymn, an early hymn from the church, or some other poet. But the point there, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. We're talking about light. And as I went through this passage, I said, I want to pause here a little bit longer and talk about that. Being light. Now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. What does light do? We see here in Scripture in verse 13, all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. And of course, they're even just speaking of the physical aspect of physical light. And so here in this passage, last week we looked at the topic of reproving. The week prior, proving. Proving and reproving. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, that which is the fruit of the light, or the fruit of His Spirit, goodness, righteousness, and truth. And then through our very lives, reproving the darkness. Reproving the darkness. We talked about our testimony and the way we live. And how do we reprove darkness? And how do we reprove darkness when he says in verse 12 that we aren't even supposed to speak of the things which they do in secret? And definitely, when we live lives characterized by light, characterized by goodness and righteousness and truth, our very lives will be a rebuke and a reproof to the darkness around us. May I remind you, we talked about this last week, when Jesus was around the publicans and sinners, he didn't partake in their evil. He did not say, well, I've got to be like them to win them. No, in fact, Jesus, in his sinless holiness, attracted those people to him. They came to be near him. They came to hear him. Jesus didn't go out to the clubs and the pubs to find, you know, the scrubs. You know, they came and heard him gladly. He was sitting there at Matthew's house, as he called Matthew, and they had come to the feast. When Jesus met Zacchaeus, there was Zacchaeus, that Roman tax, the Jew who was a tax collector for Rome. The Jews hated publicans. They're like turncoats. They'd sided with Rome. They collected the taxes. They took extra for themselves. But when Jesus went to Zacchaeus' house, Jesus had a sanctifying influence on that publican. And we see there, as Jesus says, today salvation has come to this household. And Jesus, by his very life, his holiness, he reproved darkness. We are to do the same. All things that are reproved are made manifest by what? By light. Of course, we can obviously think about, you know, darkness and light have never seen each other. You realize that? Because when you turn on the lights, the darkness is gone. When the lights are off, the darkness has come. But they're never together. It's either one or the other. And so here, all things that are reproved are made manifest by light. We, the Bible says, we are light in the Lord, and therefore we are to walk as children of light. In Matthew chapter 5, there in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus spoke and he said this, Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 13, Jesus says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." Verse 14, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Light repels darkness. And when a Christian is light in the Lord, when his life is characterized by goodness, righteousness, and truth, when his life is characterized by those things which are acceptable to God, he repels or reproves or rebukes darkness. And we are to be light. We are to walk. We are light in the Lord. Therefore, we are to walk as children of the light. And our lives must be lived in such a way that we reprove the darkness. Whatsoever doth make manifest is light. And so he says, "Awake, thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, Christ shall give thee light." Years ago, well, in fact, I'm looking at my outline here. And let's see, I was married in August of 98. And about a month later, I preached this message. And so this was, you've heard it because I've preached it before. But there's nothing new under the sun, so whatever I say, you've heard before. But I want to talk about being light. Being light. Here, Paul speaks about it. Jesus talked about it back in Matthew chapter 5. And I want to talk to you today about the Christian being light. How are we to be light? Light. We could talk about the physical aspect of light. It's really fast. It travels at 186,281 miles per second, or 300,000 kilometers per second, which is, there's only one thing that goes faster than light that I know of. It's the speed of thought. You ever think about that? Anyway, think quickly. Now, the speed of light. The speed of light. And light's very important. Light is absolutely essential to live. We think about what the sun does. It provides light, and the plants, you know, through photosynthesis, grow because of the light. We walk safely in our homes because of light. You know, just two nights ago, I heard something kind of crash in the hall. And I'm kind of a light sleeper. When I hear things, I immediately perk up. So I hear something in the hall, and I get up, turn my light on, and look down the hall, and here comes my youngest son. For some reason, the youngest son, I think he has night vision, but he can navigate through that house with the lights all out, and he doesn't freak out, which he didn't get that from me. So anyway, here he comes down the hall and needed some help, and that was 4:45 in the morning. But light is very important. If you want to navigate through your house safely, if you want to navigate through my house safely, you have got to have light. Okay, so light is very important. But the Christian, the Bible says that we are light. We are light in the Lord. Where does this light come from? What is the source of the Christian's light? Do we have light in and of ourselves? No. Ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. As Paul says, where does the light that we have, where is this light that shines out to the world, where does it come from? Where is its source? Well, of course, the scripture tells us that God is light and in him is no darkness. And if we are in him and he in us, the source of our light is his light. And what are we to do? We are to reflect his light to the world around us. So as we reflect the light to the world around us, we must remember that as reflectors of his light, we have to have a light source. And the light source is God himself. He is light. Reflectors don't have any light of their own. You know, the moon, as bright as it is, and I love watching the moon come up at night. I like watching it set sometimes in the early morning, and it's just so beautiful. And that moon, it's so bright. You know, who changes the batteries on that thing? You know, the moon, does it have any light of its own? No. The moon just reflects light. The moon reflects the light of what? I don't know, maybe NASA's shining a big spotlight up there on that moon. So it's the light of the sun. The moon reflects the light of the sun. And there we have this night light, so to speak. Unless it's on the other side of the world and then it's dark. But the moon. The moon is a great example of reflected light. If you go running around here or riding your bike in the dark or at night, you need to have reflectors so that you're safe, so you can be seen. The source of light is always brighter than the reflection. The source of light is always brighter than the reflection, as the sun is brighter than the moon. Without light, there can be no reflection. You ever notice when you're wearing reflective clothing? It just doesn't emanate light on its own. It has to have a source pointed at it, a light source. And without light, there's no reflection. And a reflector out of position is worthless. You can take a reflector and put it in your pocket, shine light all over you, and it's not going to do any good. A reflector has to be in the right position. Reflectors have to have a high reflective power. And there's a scientific word for that. It's their albedo. The albedo. It talks about the the surface. And the amount of reflection is determined by the irregularity or smoothness or lack thereof of the reflector surface. Did you know that glass is basically made from silica, from sand? But sand has a pretty low reflective index. Glass, on the other hand, is very reflective. A polished mirror has a high reflective index. How many of you ever driven behind a car and its rear windshield was just at the right angle and the sun was shining and you just, it's horrible. I remember when I was in graduate school and I lived in Clemson and I would drive up every morning to Greenville where I worked, and there was one portion of the highway that everybody went, I mean, it was like 65 until you made this one turn and you started heading east. All of a sudden, traffic would go down to like 30 miles an hour. It wasn't because there was an accident and it wasn't because there was a speed trap, but it was the angle of the sun in the morning would come down and everyone was faced with glare like you wouldn't believe coming off of windshields. And you would just drive slowly and it hurt your eyes. And by the time you got to work, you're so tired, you want to go to sleep. But anyway, those windshields were just reflective. They were smooth. The amount of reflection is determined by the purity of the reflector's substance, or however it's made. Now, those are some interesting things about reflectors. But let's talk about what the Bible says about believers being light. You know, if we're reflecting the light of the light of the Lord to the world around us, then we have a brilliant source of light. God is the source of light. In John chapter 1, John's gospel is in the very first chapter. John 1 verse 4, in him was life, speaking of Christ, And the life was the light of men. The life was the light of men. Verse 5, and the light shineth in darkness, but the darkness comprehended it not. And then in verse 9 of the same chapter, John 1, verse 9, speaking, he goes, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And so here, God is the source of light. Jesus came to bring light into the world, spiritual light. In John chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Now, physically speaking, when you think about the light of the world, who is the light? What's the, it's the sun. And here, the Son of God, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Shall have the light of life. In 1 John 1:5, it says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. But Paul reminds us, ye were sometimes darkness. We used to be, but now are we light in the Lord, walk as children of light. You know, the source of our light is too bright to be directly observed. How many of you have ever walked out and looked at the sun? And then for the next 5 minutes, however many times you focused out there on the sun or blinked, you will see that many spots. And you can actually count them. Close your eyes and count all the little spots. Or if you look into a bright light, it's kind of blinding. And the source is too bright to be directly observed. Well, that's interesting because the Bible really says the same thing about God. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 16, speaking of God, it says, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. God is light. And his light is such that no man can approach it. Remember Moses up on Mount Sinai? There he's getting the Ten Commandments and the instructions for Israel's worship. He was up there 40 days and 40 nights, and of course he made that request of God. He says, show me your glory. God says, you cannot see my face and live. Why? Because Moses was in an earthly body. He would consume. He says, but I'll do this. I'll let you see the back parts of my glory. And so he put him in a crack of a rock, and as he went by, he covered his face, and then after he passed by, Moses was able to see the remnants of the hinder part of God's glory. And then when Moses came back down to be with the people, what did the people say? Moses, we can't even look at your face. Would you please wear something over your face? It's too bright, physically too bright for us to look at. So Moses had to wear a veil over his face. Now, I don't know how long that lasted. But there, because of his being in the presence of God, he was reflecting the glory of God from his face, and the people couldn't even stand that which was reflected off a human's face from the hinder parts of God's glory. That tells me something, a little bit, about the glory of God. God is light. Paul's conversion experience. On the road to Damascus, he's on a horse, and what happened? Do you remember? I think it was a horse. It was a donkey. But anyway, as he was riding in Acts chapter 9 and verse 3, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth. And then as we read, he was blinded for a few days because of the brightness of the glory of God. God is the source of our light. But if we're going to reflect the light, if we're going to reprove the works of darkness by being light, as Paul tells us we are to do in Ephesians chapter 5, we are going to have to be in the path of light. What good is a reflector that's not in the path of light? it doesn't do anything. We must be in the path of light. Obviously, we must be children of light. We have to be saved. We have to be children of God. A person must know the light of the world if he is to reflect light to the world. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." The unsaved have no light in themselves. They cannot comprehend light. John 1:5, "The light shine in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Proverbs 4:19 says, "The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." You walk through your house at night and your kids haven't put away the toys, guess what might happen? You might trip over a fire truck. You might trip over some Legos. Those are painful. Oh, why couldn't they make them with rounded corners? Anyway, but you trip over something, but you won't even know what it was because it's dark. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. They don't even know the source of their problems. But believe me, they're spending a lot of time and energy and money trying to figure it out. But they can't because they're in the dark. Darkness cannot comprehend light. It's never seen it. And Satan has blinded this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Jesus in Matthew 6:23 said, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" Of course, Jesus said there in Matthew 5:14, "A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." And why is that? Because it's constantly in a position to reflect light. Ephesians 5:8 reminds us, we were like the world. We were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We're to be different from the world, set apart, sanctified. 2 Corinthians 6:14, "What communion hath light with darkness?" It doesn't. The Bible tells us that a Christian is to be different from the world. How different? Well, as different as light is from darkness. In what ways should the Christian be different from the world? You think about it. You tell me a way that the Christian isn't to be different from the world. The Christian is to be different from the world in everything, in his thinking, in his behavior, in his appearance, in the way he talks, the way he dresses, the way he walks, his attitude, the things that he reads, listens to, participates in. Every aspect of his life is to reflect the light of God's holiness rather than the darkness of the world. How are you reflecting today? What communion hath light with darkness? There isn't any. You know, we read in the Old Testament, and I really only experience this every so often as I decide to read through the Bible and as I read through like Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and you start reading about the details of the law. You start reading about their clothes and how they weren't supposed to mix these kind of fabrics, and you read about all these things, and you think, oh, all these little rules. Oh, my goodness. I'm so glad life is so simple today. And you have to wonder, why did God tell them no bacon? Bacon. Oh, I'm so thankful for grace. Grace, yes. Anyway, but you know, here are these, all these rules. You know why they're there? Now, my brain isn't that big, but I have figured out one thing. The reason all those rules are there is because God wanted every aspect of their lives to be different from the nations around them. Even down to what they ate, what they wore, how they worshiped, when and where they collected their manna, how they observed the day of rest. All of these aspects were to make them stand out from the darkness around them. Now let me make that application today. Every aspect of your life had better reflect the glory of God and not the worldly culture around you. I'm talking about the things you read, the things you watch, the music you listen to, the way you dress, the way you talk. I mean, God's interested in all those things. Oh, come on, don't we have liberty? Yeah, you do. You got liberty to glorify God, and you make sure that what you do in every aspect of life is pointing others to Christ, is reproving the darkness, not joining in with the darkness. It's not how close can I get to darkness. It's no, how light can you be? Because light and darkness don't have fellowship. They're opposites. How many of you know what a lunar eclipse is? Not a solar eclipse. A lunar eclipse. Lunar means moon, right? So a lunar eclipse is kind of fun to watch. We're getting ready to have one of those solar eclipses. Now, we're not going to see a whole lot here because we're kind of in the wrong spot. I'm not talking about a solar eclipse. I'm talking today about a lunar eclipse. A lunar eclipse, you can see, it's generally at night. And as you watch the moon is, again, let's go back. The moon is reflecting the light of the sun. And there's that bright moon in the sky. And all of a sudden, you start to see a shadow move across the moon. What is that shadow? It's Earth. It's the world. And guess what? As the world comes in front of the sun, it blocks the light which is to be reflected by the moon until the moon disappears from view. When the world gets in the way, the believer is not going to reflect the light of the Son of God. And all of a sudden, we end up with a spiritual lunar eclipse. Isn't that kind of cool? Kind of funny. There it is. When the world gets in the way of the sun, the moon no longer reflects the light of the sun and it goes dark. When the world gets in the way of the Son of God, the believer no longer reflects the light of the glory of God. Whenever you think a lunar, whenever you see a lunar eclipse, you'll never see it the same again. You think about that. The world gets in the way. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 3 and reading through verse 7, Paul says this, "For this is the will of God." This is the will of God. "Even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, from any kind of sexual impurity and immorality. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel or his body in sanctification and honor. Not in the lust of concupiscence or unbridled passion, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner." What does it mean to defraud someone? It means to arouse desires in them which cannot be righteously satisfied. "That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. We are light in the Lord, therefore walk as children of light." Don't walk like the world. Don't look like the world. Don't smell like the world. You're to be sanctified from the world, sanctified to God. And if we're going to reflect the light of the Lord, if we're going to reprove, if we're going to make manifest the light of the the light of the Lord to the world, then we need to accurately reflect the light. Remember the more pure the reflector, the more clean the reflector, the better job it does at reflecting light. You know, as kids, we used to ride our little dirt bikes, and we'd go out and ride in the dirt and in the mud. Your bike gets caked with mud, and guess what happens to the reflector? Now it gets splattered with mud, and it no longer reflects light because it's filthy, and it needs to be cleaned. How many of you get up in the morning and brush your teeth in front of your mirror? If somebody could invent a toothbrush that would not splatter forward when you're brushing your teeth, they'd really have something. But after a while of brushing your teeth in front of the mirror, what happens to your mirror? It's called crest, all over, little spots. And you know what? You start looking at that mirror, and if you don't clean it regularly, pretty soon, you know, you're not going to look too good. Well, the mirror just needs to be washed because it's not reflecting accurately. The purity and the cleanliness of the reflector affects the reflected light. Where are we to reflect light? Jesus said, let your light so shine where? In the closet? Under a bushel? No. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So where are we to be accurately reflecting the light of God? Everywhere. Before men. In the workplace. In the neighborhood. If you're in school, in school. In your family. Why? Because they're in the dark. And how does this happen? Well, listen, the product of reflection, what is it? The world will observe a changed life. Jesus says, so let your light so shine before men that they may see what? See your good works. Those things that are approved of God, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, goodness, righteousness, and truth. It's the fruit of light. They may see your good works. You go to an art museum, it's so boring. But if you go to an art museum, if you like art, but if you go to an art museum, all these paintings hanging on the wall, some of them you look and you think, my three-year-old does better than that. But anyway, they always have little spotlights. You know, you look, turn around and look up at the roof. Look around. Those paintings are always illuminated with light to bring to life the creation of the artist. Now, we accurately reflect the image of Christ to the world around us when we emulate the character of Christ. When we're Christ-like. 1 Corinthians 6:20, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Why? So that the world will see the glory of God in the children of light. And of course, this happens as we are controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all as with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You know, how does this happen? How do we reflect the glory of God to the world around us? Listen, as it tells us in Psalm 119, Psalm 119 verse 9. It's a great verse. Psalm 119 and verse 9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How can we have clean reflectors? How can we keep the surface pure so that we reflect the light? How do we keep ourselves portraying accurately the loveliness of God to the world around us? Well, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. It didn't say by taking read. It's nice to read the word of God. It's very important to read the word of God. If you don't read it, you can't heed it. But heeding is a little more than reading. Heeding is obedience. Taking heed thereto according to thy word. Well, what'll happen when we're Christ-like? We start shining. And we're reproving. We're making manifest. What happens? Oh, I know. The world says, oh, that's so amazing. I've got to have what you have. Isn't that what they do? They might. But they might not. What do we know will happen? Well, we know we'll suffer persecution because they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Do you think darkness likes to be reproved by light? Oh, not at all. Do you think if you have a testimony of godliness in your workplace that those who walk in darkness are just going to have great appreciation for it? No. In fact, when they see you coming, they'll shut their mouths. They're not going to want to tell their dirty jokes around you. They're going to change their language when you're around. In fact, they probably won't even want to talk so much around you unless it's business related, but they'll tell their jokes to someone else. Light repels darkness. Light exposes darkness. Whatsoever doth make manifest is light. But on the other hand, we'll not only suffer persecution, but we will draw men to Christ. And as you go through the New Testament and you look at the lives of the apostles, you look throughout history at the lives of the martyrs and those who have suffered for Christ, you can see that their good works shone unto men, and men were caused to glorify their Father which is in heaven. You look at Stephen's death. And what came as a result of that death? Saul of Tarsus became Paul, the apostle. I guarantee you, Paul never forgot that experience. Seeing Stephen out there being stoned to death, calling upon God to forgive those who were killing him. Paul never forgot that. Remember Paul there, the jail at Philippi, the jailer that had beaten them, put him in stocks in the middle of the night. There was an earthquake. The prison opened. The prisoners could have escaped, yet they didn't. The jailer was about to kill himself, and Paul says, wait, we're all still here. Don't harm yourself. What? You're all still here? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? You've got something I don't have. What is it? Why all of this? Why reflect the glory of God? Why reflect light to the world? Folks, that's why we're here. It's for God's glory. We are to show the world around us how great is our God, how holy He is, how unlike us He is. The world is not looking for a buddy. The world needs a Savior. The world needs to see the difference. The world does not appreciate at all Christians who look like them. Because, an unbeliever can spot a phony Christian faster than a Christian can spot a phony Christian just about. Sad to say. Because the world knows when it's real. Something different because it repels them. But if God is working in their hearts, He will draw them to Himself. The purpose of our reflection is for God's glory. That light at the art museum is designed so that people will do what? See the painting and glorify the artist. You look at that painting and say, oh wow, look at that frame. That is absolutely incredible. Look at the frame. Look at that. Wow. Look at that green. Oh, that green color is. Oh, that's No, they look at the, and they look at the picture, and what do they think? Who did that? Oh, wow. Rembrandt. Heard of him. He's quite a sketcher. Okay. Michelangelo. Well, that guy knew how to carve rocks. Wow. And they look at the work and they glorify the artist. They glorify the creator of the work. And when the world looks at the Christian who is reflecting the glory of God, they say, wow, who do you serve? And we tell them about Christ. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Listen, how is God going to get glory? 2 Corinthians 4, 6 and 7 says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Who gets the glory? Us? No. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, weak earthen vessels, humble earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God, or the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. What a tremendous message of hope to the world when they see people just like them living victorious lives, responding completely different to the stresses and the, you know, the problems of life. How do you do that? And of course, we're, as Peter says, to be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks us a reason of the hope that is in us with meekness and fear. Now listen, it's one of two things that hinders radiation, hinders radiant reflection. First is the absence of light. The position. Are you acquainted with the true light? Are you a Christian? Are you a child of God? Are you light in the Lord? Are you one of the children of light? Now, if you're a Christian and you're not walking in fellowship with the Lord, if your reflector is dirty, if the shadow of the world has become between you and the Son of God, your light will be hindered. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we get along really good. Those are my words. He says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Absence of light will hinder reflection. And flaws in the reflector will hinder the light from reflecting. Do you have the hindrance of sin in your life? Is there unconfessed sin? Or are you ashamed that you're a reflector? Do you try to hide the fact that you're a Christian? What did Jesus say? If you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. If you'll not confess me before men, neither will I confess you before my Father. So here, all things that are reproved are made manifest by light. How do we reprove the darkness around us? By accurately and faithfully reflecting the light of the glory of God which shines upon us, which shines out from us to the world around us. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. How are you reflecting the Lord's light? Is there a difference in your life? How's your reflector? Be clean? Are you in the path of light? Is there anything that's come between you and the source of light? These are questions you need to ask yourself. And do business with God so that you can glorify God in fulfilling His purpose for you, and that is for you to bring glory to Him. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It didn't get any better than that, because that's why we're here. And let me tell you something. If you're not doing that, and you're a Christian, you will never be truly happy. But if you are in the path of light, if you are reflecting the light of God's glory and nothing is in between you and the source of light, there is nothing better, nothing sweeter. You're walking in fellowship with the Lord, and you'll have fellowship with other believers too. Walk as children of light. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful truth before us today. The fact that you are light and in you is no darkness at all. Father, we pray that each one of us would accurately reflect the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ to the world around us. Lord, that they may see our good works and bring you glory. Lord, help us each to examine ourselves. Lord, help us not to let the darkness of the world crowd out the light. Let us not allow sin to weaken and diminish our reflecting your glory to the world. Lord, may we bring glory and honor to you, for that is our purpose. And in doing so, Lord, we'll find the greatest fulfillment and joy. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.